I have a very dramatic announcement. So anyone with a weak heart should leave now.
Unreal. Revolution. Revolution. Uncensored. Revolution. Revolution. Unfiltered. Revolution. Revolution. Unchanged. Revolution. Revolution. Unadulterated. Revolution. Revolution. Unbelievable. CliffCentral.com. Revolution. Revolution. Revolution.
What's up, what's up, what's up? It's your boy. It's G-Man the Ad-Man. And we out here once again. It's another beautiful, beautiful Wednesday. I'm in a strange environment today because, you know, as you might have guys have found out that Touch Central is in the building. So Tiwa Touch is all up in here, and it's fantastic. You know, there's collaborations and coalitions happening everywhere out here. So what's happened is that it means that we have changed studios. So Touch came in and he's sitting in the other studio, and this is essentially my first time in the other studio. So it's a bit strange, you know. There've been some changes apparently that people have been dealing with for the past week, and it's including things like the fact that Touch in his studio there's a phone, but we have moved on to you know the next part of technology where we only access each other through Skype. I'm just gonna call it that. It's a touch of touch. But we're still here. We're still hanging out. It's another great Wednesday afternoon. There's been a lot of advertising things happening out there. But we're gonna delve into that stuff. We'll get into that stuff. But we've also, you know, only got that hour that I always keep complaining about. We've only got an hour out here, and it feels like it flies by. So I'm just gonna get into exactly what's going on today. I've got a great guest with me today. Some of you might have encountered him at 44 Stanley when you're out there innocently trying to buy a coffee, and he accosts you, and he asks you hard questions about advertising, about life, you know. And then eventually he releases you, and you feel like, yes, I had no business me bumping into that guy today. And then, you know, but it's always an amazing encounter when you do meet him. I don't think I've ever had such a response from people when I've put out exactly who's going to be on the show, because it's like the whole internet, all of Facebook essentially just converged on my page and just left all their love for this man on my page. I had to wipe my screen down because of all that love, but if people can only seem to say amazing things about him. I made the mistake of calling him a giant until I was properly. He told me that he feels like a giant because he couldn't fit into his pants. And then like there's just amazing comments like things like I love that man. You're an icon in our business. You know, things of that nature. But by now I think you guys might have figured out exactly who it is I'm talking about. If you haven't met him after today, you're gonna know him thoroughly. So today I just want to say, what's up, Mr. Ahmed Tilly?
Hey, Grant, how's it?
I'm well, man. I'm well. Welcome, man. It's been a long time coming.
So much praise. Yeah. I really was blushing when I saw that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You also said
brown.
Went
from
brown
to purple.
Yeah.
I think red and brown mix somewhere there.
Yeah, I know that because
I don't know my Pantone red well, but I think it's purple.
It's not at direction. We have other people for that.
No, that's right.
Yeah, exactly.
No, we'll just focus on the bullshit you're talking.
Yeah. That's what's up. No, but I know that blushing thing you're talking about, because when I blush, I turn burgundy. You know, so I know that mix. You know, I go red and you know dark navy.
But you don't blush.
Yeah,
nothing embarrasses you.
You can't tell.
Nothing embarrasses you. I do know you that well.
Well, it's good to have you in this too, Mr. Ahmed Tilly. What's up? What's going on? What's going on in your life right now? What are you up to?
Thanks. Firstly, thanks a lot for having me on the show.
No problem. Going
on in my life at the moment.
Yeah.
I'm leaving Black River. People are starting to talk about it.
Boom.
Yeah.
See what we did there? We didn't even leave it for the end. There was no suspense.
No. Let's just get it out the way.
Because I know that's what you guys have been wondering about out there. And that's what it is. Ahmed Tilly is going to be leaving Black River. I don't know what, when I say going to be leaving, has he left? Have you left? Or are you in the process of leaving?
No, I'm still very much there. I leave at the end of October. Yep. And yeah, as you can imagine, it's a very sad thing for me.
Yeah.
Especially the people. Shout out to Black River guys. I know they were listening.
Shout out Black River FC.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it's very sad to leave those people, especially the people that are there. But that's life, and you need to move on and find different things.
That's right. So how long? Let's get into it. I mean, how long has this journey with you and Black River been? I mean, and take us through it all. Like, where did it begin, and how long have you been riding with Black River?
You only have an hour, remember? Yeah. but I've been with Black River for 12 years. So I started in 2005.
Wow.
Where we started out, and it's been 12 years.
Right.
And Black River FC is a product of the Jupiter Drawing Room, Cape Town, where I spent in total about 4.5 to 5 years.
Ah.
So the relationship with the group has been for seventeen years, and and Black River was a brainchild of the Jupiter Drawing Room, Cape Town.
Yeah.
I was the guy who raised my hand and said, I'll go to Joburg, I was missing home
in
Cape Town for 4.5 years. I wanted to come back home.
I mean, I can see how they can be. I mean, Cape Town being what it is.
Cape Town,
we'll get into that.
So and I've never looked back, and it's been an amazing 12 years. It's been like phenomenal for me.
Yeah.
On my Twitter thing, I always say student at Black River FC, because I think the place is my university.
That is so dope, man. Yeah. I like that. I like the sound of that. That is awesome, man. So, but I mean, Ahmed, it must feel like, you know, to kind of use a different metaphor, it must feel like cutting off some kind of umbilical cord, you know, leaving home, all those metaphors, you know, like it must feel like, you know, you're essentially, leaving
it's like,
home.
It's like, no, it's more like giving up your child.
Yeah.
Which is very painful, but sometimes you've got to do it, let them go.
Yeah.
For the growth of both of us.
Right.
It's been a very difficult journey, but I've come to accept it.
Yeah.
And you can't move on if you
still hold on to that.
I'm very much there, and I'm committed to the place till I leave the building in October.
Okay.
But it's a new chapter, and I just got to move forward, you know.
Yeah, I mean, before the show, you asked me how uncensored this entire thing is, and how deep we delve into things. But I mean, and I guess I'm hoping that to get an answer that kind of clarifies that kind of thing for me. What does it take for someone who's loved a place, who's kind of had been a part of the formation of a place, to make a call like that? To make a call like, that's it, I'm moving on to other things, or I'm out the building. What brings someone to something like that?
I think there's a point in your life where you go, you know, there's nothing more you can do for a place.
Right.
And there's not much more the place can do for you.
Right.
And it's something that doesn't just happen overnight. You have this sense inside of you that the place, and I believe this, that Black River does need something new, something fresh.
Yeah.
When things start becoming a little predictable, and I mean, the guys know how I'm going to react to the work. My clients know me too well. I know the place too well. You start stagnating to some degree, and I think you need to break and make it uncomfortable for something to grow.
Right.
And so you need to create the space. So that feeling you have inside of you for a while, and you get to a point where you go, you know, you've got to do it now, because there's never the right time to do it.
Right. So, I hear you. Wow. That's me. So there's no animosity, nothing. There was no walking out of a boardroom. You know, there was no one said, hey, Ahmed, hey, and you said, hey, fuck you. And then, no, nothing like that.
No, there have been differences, but it wasn't. It's
welcome to the land of euphemism.
You know, it's not. It's not. It wasn't nasty. It's not nasty at all.
Okay, all right, that's cool. hey, he's boxing. He's boxing. Real quick.
Know.
But I mean, I think it's great news, Ahmed, because I mean, it sounds to me like you're saying that you want to make space for other people to come and influence essentially what you birthed, to kind of carry on a legacy of what you've created, and to kind of take it into a different direction. But what does this mean for you? Where are you going? Is there a place out there that's preparing a corner office for Ahmed Tilly?
I hope so. Top floor corner. No, so I'm not sure. I don't know where I'm going. I haven't committed to anything.
Yeah.
But what I have been doing, which has been very interesting as a journey, is just been talking to everybody who's been interested in talking to me.
Okay.
It's been 17 years since I've done this.
Right.
So it's and I've used this a lot. It's like dating again.
Yeah.
I've been married for 17 years. which is pretty cool, but also frightening.
You're still the old guy at the club.
You know, that you're the old guy at the club.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Exactly. You're asking them to play regulate.
You know, and they're going like, what is regulate? but so it's been interesting for me just to be talking to people on this level, and I've been quite open and honest with everyone, going, I know, I just want to know what you need, and then I know whether I can fulfill that need.
Right.
So I've been having lots of very interesting conversations with a few people, and I'm relieved that there's interest.
Oh, that's great.
I must be honest, because at some point I was just going like, shit.
Yeah.
What am I
doing? Oh, man.
No, but it's our insecurity.
Of course.
So you never know. So I've been comfortable now knowing that like people are interested in talking to me.
Okay, that's cool. great. So obviously nothing you can divulge yet.
Because you're talking to a few people. I haven't made a decision.
Right.
You know, when I do make a decision, I'm sure you'll hear it on Wednesday at Club Central.
Okay. That's what's up. Guys, I hope you guys heard it. You heard it yourself. Everything starts here, guys. Everything starts right here. No, that's awesome. So, tell me then, Ahmed. Let's take a couple of steps back. You know, when somebody asked, oh, quick shout out to my boy Chez, I was in the house, part of the production team, and to Pumla out there, huge part of the production team as well. But you know, we were compiling the stuff that we know about. You know, let's get stuff about Ahmed Tili. You know, and it's quite a dossier. That I ended up with, of the stuff that you've done and kind of where you've been, but I'm really interested in, you know, where did this all start for you? You know, when did you kind of go, you know what, I'm not going to do all the typical things that everyone else out there is expecting me to do. You know, like how everyone in advertising, everyone thought they were going to law school, you know, thought they were going to be an entertainer, but they end up, you know. Yeah. So at what point did you go, here's what I want to do? And what year was that? I mean, also, I know it's, obviously, I know it's pre-94, you know.
It was when Dre was still. No.
Yeah.
It goes back a little, but not that far back.
Yeah.
It's interesting because I was a failed attempted architect. I always thought I was going to do architecture.
We all come from somewhere.
You know what I mean. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the thing is, growing up in Polokwane, in the school that I was in, it was exactly what you
said. Oh, is that your hometown?
Yeah. I'm from
Pietersburg.
Pietersburg.
Oh, nothing wrong. Shout out Pete Town.
You know, the five people who are listening. Yeah.
I will get there. The internet will get there in October.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, it was a doctor, lawyer, businessman vibe. And for me, it was architecture, and I sucked at math, and I was lazy, and so I basically fucked it up. let's not kid. And thanks to my mom, who just she just stuck by me. And then I discovered this thing called advertising.
Yeah,
I never knew you could get paid to write, which I really enjoyed.
It was just
a thing for me.
Yeah.
And so when I discovered that you can actually write and people get paid for this thing, I was like, this could be the thing that I can pass in.
Right.
Which I did eventually.
Yeah.
And that's why. But the minute I got into advertising at school, I loved it.
Right.
I loved everything about it. I loved the expression. I loved the writing. I loved the creativity. And I never knew that I was that guy.
Yeah.
So I was just talking earlier, and I was just saying that as much as we get to a point where we hate what we do, there are times when you become really cynical. I'm really grateful that I do what I do, because I do love it.
That is so true. Yeah. So true. And do you think that you at some point got to that? You've ever gotten to like the cynical? Is that part of why you made the decision you just did now?
I mean, it happens at least once a day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean.
There are different things that trigger it off, and the older you get and the longer you're in the industry, the more cynical you become.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it takes just another second for you to fall in love with it again.
Right.
And so it's important just to remind yourself that what you do is a privilege.
Yeah.
You know,
very true.
To be able to express your opinion in an environment where, you know, that's allowed, firstly.
That's completely true. I've always said when I talk to like the little teams, the little interns that started, that for me it feels like it's the biggest privilege to be allowed to speak to the country pretty much every day.
Absolutely.
You know, there are people who would pay ridiculous amounts of money, and some of them do pay ridiculous amounts of money to be able to speak to the country as often as you are given the chance to. So I think
Our jobs are hard. There's no question about it. The amount of bullshit we go through is a lot, but at the same time, you know, it's really cool also to be able to work with the people we work, people of very different opinions,
yeah,
and then putting something out there which is, you know, it's a two-edged sword. You got to be careful about what you put out there, because you can influence a lot of people.
As well.
And I think as people forget the power that we have, it sounds cliche, but we have a lot of power in influencing thought.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, coming from the guy who we know made all those Nando's ads that, you know, essentially almost got probably almost got your place shut down and burnt down, you know, going out there and what's that like, you know, dealing with that power, with the power that you kind of have, and then you realize what the power has done, where you essentially get phone calls from Zimbabwe where they are saying, tell us about that.
You know these things, but you actually believe it in practice. Power comes with responsibility.
That's right.
The work that you're talking about on Nando's, where we did the dictator's ad and Robert Mugabe was really slightly bust off.
Just a little.
Yeah. No, but you realize how important it is and how far reaching what you do is. But not only that, the process that we followed, it didn't seem that way.
Right.
But everything was checked and double checked.
Yeah.
And it was considered. The work that goes out looks like it's been shot from the hip, but it's very well considered.
Yeah.
And the bottom line is, when you take the moral high ground, you've got something to defend.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
And that's, if it comes from the right place.
Exactly. We did the xenophobic ad that Warabile wrote.
Mm. Shout out Warabile.
Yeah. See how I just threw that in there? J-cubed. That work also was taking the moral high ground. It was saying, you know, xenophobia is not on.
Yeah.
And when you've got that, if people are critical of it, that's fine, because they're the fringe, they're the fundamentalists.
That's right.
Yeah.
I like that. That's really cool. But we keep jumping up and up around. But I want to take a step back now to we spoke about, you know, the interns and how they get to learn pretty much from day one. And where were you an intern then? After you were done studying, you know, when you said, okay, cool, I'm taking my portfolio bag. For millennials, portfolio bags are these big things that we used to carry back in the day. There was no flash stick. There was no, here, click here. I've built my own website. No, there are portfolio bags with stuff mounted. I didn't even know if they had mounting board in Amit's time. There was just, you know.
Papyrus.
Yeah, his portfolio was on a papyrus. So where's the place that Amit Tilling walked into and said, hey guys, hook me up with a job?
The guy that gave me a shot was Nkwenke Nkomo.
Ah, get out.
At Lindsay Smithers.
Shout out, Mr. Nkwenke Nkomo.
Yeah, he was the guy who pulled me into sort of the trainee program at FCB. And then I was quickly adopted by Sam Mtembi.
Yeah.
Also another old legend. And he pulled me into his office, him and Zolani. And they adopted me and called me Mkathi.
Yeah. After Amit Katrada, of course.
Amit Katrada, yeah. Which was cool. But it was a good grounding, because I was a kind of a part of a training program, but also a very junior copywriter.
Right.
But what was nice was being adopted.
Yeah.
You know, there's someone who shows you the ropes, like I'll be indebted to them forever.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, it makes me worry about how old I am, because I know all those people that you just mentioned.
See?
You know, no. But I mean,
I
met them at the end of their tether, you know. You met them in their prime.
Yeah, pretty much so. It was really interesting.
Yeah.
It was 1996.
Sure.
So it wasn't that long ago, but 1996 was an interesting time for the country and for advertising industry. And I'm indebted to them. There was a guy called Mark Bolton, who was one of my creative directors, who took me under his wing also for a bit, and gave me an opportunity to write my first television ad. There's so many people involved. And then, you know, went fast forward, and then one of my best mentors has been Ross Charles at the Jupiter Dwight.
All right. Yeah. Shout out Ross Charles. Shout out Jupiter Cape Town.
Yeah.
So tell us about this first TV ad. Let's picture you are in the presentation. You're in the review now. You know, take us through the script, Mr. Amitini. How did this first TV ad go?
The first TV ad went very well, actually. It was for Comprolytic tablet.
There we go.
Yeah. It was. I think the line was fast, effective, and strong.
I think that might still be the line, actually.
It might still be it.
Yeah.
And I had the scene open up on an old couple sitting on a porch.
There we go.
You know, on a stoop.
Mm.
And the old lady was swaying in a rocking chair, and the old man was asleep.
Mm.
And this fly was bugging this old lady. You know? She kept swatting it away from her. It kept coming back. And eventually she's reading the newspaper, and eventually the fly settles on her old husband's head.
Yeah.
And she rolls it up and swats it in the middle of his head.
Yeah.
And it just goes like headache.
Yeah.
Fast, effective, strong. It was a very quirky little ad. It was big production for me.
Yeah.
It was amazing. It was on air for a while.
Boom.
People seem to like it. You know?
Boom, that's dope. See, I think that's really, really dope. Guys, and that's how you present a TV script, guys. Quick, to the point. You know, here's what happens. The story is very simple. You know what I mean? Not cut to.
Tell a story.
Yeah, exactly. Because that's pretty much what we do all the time, yeah. Right? We tell stories. So that's dope. So then you were at FCB for how long?
For 2 years.
Two entire years.
Yeah, two full years. A really good foundation.
Yeah.
I worked there with a guy called Joel Ngabeni, and I also worked with a guy called Jake Rusniak, and then I moved to Publicis for a couple of years.
Okay.
Wasn't quite right for me. It was too early for me there. It was quite chilled.
Yeah.
I met some interesting people there. Andrew Whitehouse of Fox P2.
Oh, yeah.
He was working there at that time.
Shout out Andrew Whitehouse. Shout out Fox P2.
And some other very amazing people that I met along the way. And then eventually went to Cape Town to give a friend of mine company to drive to Cape Town. That's how it happened.
Right.
And I was like, you know, I'm going there. Might as well see what's out there. Had a few interviews. Viv Gordon hooked me up.
Yeah. Shout out Viv Gordon as well.
And I walked into the Jupiter Drawing Room in Cape Town, and it was like instant for me. There was a vibe there. And it's important to note, because there were guys like Anton Fisser, who's a director now.
Right.
Skalk van Merwe was an artist. Then we had Sanjay Mistry, who wrote some amazing stuff.
Yeah.
Patrick Conroy, Graham Lang, Con Bertish, Joanne Thomas. There's so many brilliant minds.
Yeah.
PJ Kinsey was my art director. Did amazing work. He's now at Singing Sons.
Right.
Some amazing people. And I'm probably going to forget a lot of people. Some amazing people. Some great minds.
Yeah.
And they were all really modest people.
That's so cool. I mean, it feels like, and I mean, I'm gonna talk about like what I think a lot of studios have kind of become now as well, you know, just from conversations with other people, where it almost feels like it's been slightly homogenized, you know, where it feels like there's a certain approach to creative. It's about, you know, you having watched Monty Python, you know, you having been to Pram, you know what I mean. Do you think that having had this kind of multifaceted studio, like, essentially made everyone better?
Absolutely. I mean, important that all those people were really intelligent people.
Yeah.
But they had so many different skills.
Yeah.
I mean, you can see, and the backgrounds were so different.
Right.
And that's what makes something interesting. It's the cocktail. And I think they've taken that principle that I saw there at Jupiter Drawing Room Cape Town between 1999 and 2004, essentially, my time there.
Yeah.
And I've taken some of those principles and applied them at Black River FC. And the thing is, the guys at Black River FC, apart from being really smart people, really nice people, they come from very different backgrounds.
That's right.
You can't go, there's two Muslim guys there.
Yeah. You know, exactly. I hear you.
We're completely different minds. Oh, there's a black guy there. No, you got someone who's, you know, from the Val, and a youngster there. You got someone from somewhere else. And the cultural backgrounds are very different. And when you put everybody into this mix, you get something special.
Yeah.
And the most important thing is you get something surprising every single time.
Yeah.
So it's been an interesting journey for me.
That is amazing. And I think that it feels like that should be, it's a part of that big, beautiful transformation conversation that we all keep having, because that's going to lead us to that.
Absolutely.
You know, and because I've always had this thought that, you know, people think that when you say transformation, it's just saying that you should just have more black people in your studio. It really is just, you know, finding more colors in your back, but colors, not color, but colors in your studio, in order to be able to paint different types of pictures with every single color.
Yes and no.
Okay.
Because I think you have to have more black people in the agency.
Oh no, definitely. Definitely.
And what I'm saying is, we tend to apologize for this, or be a bit apologetic about how we say it.
Got you.
And it's 22 years down the line.
Yeah.
So fuck that.
Yeah.
What you got to do is you got to get the numbers up. You got to get the numbers up.
Yeah.
You can't wait for next year.
Yeah.
Or for the 5-year plan.
That's right.
It has to happen. It should have happened. It must happen now.
Yeah.
And yes, you need black talent in the agency at all levels. You need African talent in there. Yes, and you need the rest. I've always said, it's not about having less white people.
Yeah.
It's about having more black people.
That's right.
And there's a big difference.
There's two slightly different things. Yeah.
It's like, look, listen, bottom line is white people go like, oh shit, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
You feel threatened. That's not the point. The point is you're going to do better.
That's right.
And what you need to be able to do better is to have a lot more people who are representative of South Africa, which is black African people.
Yeah.
And you've got to get the numbers game up. You have to. Because it changes dynamic. You know this being in the industry,
in
agencies. If you've got 4 or 5 black guys in a studio of 10 versus 1 or 2,
it changes the complexion of...
changes everything. I like that.
Yeah, I mean, look, I see what I did there.
Nice
one. Guys, this is
the
rap game.
You should be a writer.
The rap game is creeping up on me every now and then.
Complexion. Good shit. Complexion. You get it? Write that stuff down. So you need to be able to come back to the conversation.
Yeah.
It changes the frame of reference. So I remember walking into FCB and being in an environment at that stage was, you know, it was more white than it was black.
Sure.
The conversations are different. The frame of reference is different. Mm. The sense of humor is different. The style is different. The music is different. Everything is different.
Completely.
But if we're talking to the majority of South Africa, you've got to change it. You've got to change the language.
Yeah.
How do you change the language? You've got to change the numbers inside the organization. Bottom line, corporate and agency, it must happen now.
Sure.
Because we've been waiting for it. And as Loiso Madinga always says,
yeah,
I don't care, try harder.
Yeah. Yeah. No one cares, try harder.
No one cares.
Just work harder. Yeah.
That's basically it. It's time's up.
I agree. I couldn't agree more. Guys, you guys have heard the man. I mean, he essentially just schooled all of us, starting with me. But I mean, hit me up. Hit me up on Twitter. That's at Blaxem, at BLAXEM, with your questions and comments for Ahmed. He's I told you guys he was going to be shooting from the hip. If you niggas better duck down.
Nate Dogg
in the house, you know what I mean? but yeah, I mean, yeah, hit me up and then we can chat about what you got on your mind. So you get to Jupiter Cape Town, right? You find this amazing group of people, and how long until you go, okay, cool, I've gleaned pretty much everything I want from, well, that I can from this place. And how does the offer for Black River FC actually come about?
Okay, so the Jupiter Drawing Room management team would do their sort of day away strategy days, and one of the things,
that's the thing, like, they call it boss the rat,
you know, your different names for,
yeah,
the Indaba,
Boiki,
yeah, you've done several different things. This one was a meeting,
yeah,
it was a strategy day away, and we did that a couple of times. And one of the big dreams of the agency, it was a dream because it was to open an agency in Johannesburg. Now it's a dream because there is a Jupiter Drawing Room in Johannesburg. But what we found, and what Kevin Espos and Ross Charles and them found, was that lots of clients were talking to them, and saying, we wish you guys were in Johannesburg. And so we'd direct them to Jupiter Drawing Room Johannesburg.
Right.
But they'd go like, no, we've got a thing with you. And I think the quick first lesson there is, it's all about people, right?
Yeah.
It's about relationships.
Yes.
So there was this idea. It was a bold idea because there was another agency there. And eventually in October of 2004, I decided I need to come home.
Okay.
And I said to them, I am leaving. If we are going to do that thing,
I'm the guy.
Now's the time to do it. And Kevin hooked us up with First for Women as one of our clients, and Tata Motors.
Whoa, okay.
So it was a good start.
Yeah.
And that's how it actually happened. And I drove back in December 2000 at Virgin Money. We were doing some work for them.
Yeah.
Sort of looking at the market.
Yeah. Oh, I remember that campaign. Virgin Money, Shongololo.
Spike Kunene and Kaya Dlanga.
That's what's up. Shout out, Spike Kunene and Kaya Dlanga. What's up? Hey, quick on the shout outs. I'm a Tilly.
You've got to give credit to the people who actually did it.
This is actually true.
As creative people and as human beings, we need the credit that we deserve.
Yeah.
We all want it, and we've all earned it, and that's the game. The game is to give credit where it's due.
Boom.
Because that's what it is. I'm sitting here, you know, you set me up, this guy, but man, I'm nothing without everyone around me. I'm nothing.
That is dope. That's, you know, really dope.
That's the bottom line.
Mr. Amatilio, I told you guys this was going to be a lit show. But so here's what I don't know. Why did I always think that there was a Black River FC in Cape Town? Was there a Cape Town version of it?
There was one for a brief few months. I didn't have much knowledge about it in the beginning, but it kind of happened. And I think that's cool, you know.
Yeah.
You just got to do these things and see whether they work out.
Yeah.
I don't know whether it's probably, obviously it didn't work out for whatever the reasons.
Yeah.
I don't know. But it was short lived.
But is that where the name came from?
So the name, yes, the name comes from Black. This is what you've been trying to get out of me.
Yeah.
Sorry. Oh. No. So the name comes from Black River Office Park, where the Jupiter Drawing in Cape Town is based, along the Black River.
Ah, okay.
The FC is my little inclusion.
Ah. Yeah, because, you know, because football.
I'm a brilliant footballer, you know what I mean?
I've seen photos on Facebook. On photos you can't
actually
tell.
You haven't seen the YouTube videos. You've got to say, no, I'm just joking. I sucked. I was really shit at it. I love the game. I was really bad at it. And like any child, you know, you wish you grow up to be a professional footballer. And I was never that good. So I figured this way, I can tell people, you know what, I get paid by football. You know, I'm professional.
Yeah, exactly.
Look at my business card.
Black River FC.
FC.
Yeah, exactly.
Center half.
Yeah. But you still jam, though, don't you? You still jam, like, on some Sunday league.
No, I played a lot until last year when I had an up on my knee.
Oh, yeah.
I was playing three times a week, you know.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I know. Don't look at me like that.
Overcompensating now.
Don't look at me like that. Yeah. Don't judge.
Twice a week. I know.
I was playing three times a week. I was playing five-a-side. I was playing league. And yes, I was playing the Veterans League also. Over 35.
Oh, so you pretty much were playing but my three divisions.
Three divisions.
That's unheard of. You see, that's where you can tell something is not true. No, how can you play three divisions?
No, you know, it's in most of it in Lens and in Forsberg. We make plans. Yeah. We make plans. Don't worry, Al. It happens.
Oh, as I said, Mr. Ahmed Tuli, Al, still in this too. Still in this too. So here's what I want to know now.
Yeah.
So now you are yes. Yeah, so you've set up Jupiter. How do you go about saying, wait, I'm actually going to cut off I'm going to sever certain ties that obviously I cannot, Jupiter Cape Town can still be seen as, it still has like a lot of a stronghold on Black River, in that you have to build its own personality, right? So you come off that place. How do you make the distinct like cut off from, well, did you make the distinct cut off from it, or were they still kind of, you know, influencing the culture?
No, I mean, I think what was cool was that they trusted me with it.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing. They never imposed.
That's dope.
At no point did people go, we want to see what work you're doing, how you're handling clients. So that's the first thing. So I think in the beginning it was supposed to be a very close connection between the two. But what I quickly found is that as I hired more people, that Black River is its own thing.
That's right.
And so then I did mentally go, let's separate ourselves.
Yeah.
For a number of reasons. The one is we can handle conflicting business.
Yeah.
If we are definitely separate.
Yeah.
And number two, we are allowed to create a culture that is unique.
That belongs to itself.
That belongs to itself.
Yeah.
And it was the best thing that I did, because Black River grew over the years to become what it is now. And I said to the guys the other day back at the office, the Black River FC is in the walls now.
Right.
So whether, that's, you know, dope, me being there, that's, or someone really else dope, being there, it's now in the walls.
Yeah.
And I, anyone like that comes in will have to absorb some of that and keep the fundamentals and change the rest of it. So then as people came in, the different personalities that came in, and some of that was done very consciously.
Yeah.
But then what came out of it, what was born out of it, we had no control over.
That's right. That's
and
right.
So this thing was born and it worked for us.
That's great.
And inadvertently we found a formula to make a South African creative agency representative and do brilliant work.
That's amazing.
And get awarded. It's possible. Albeit really small. Cool.
Yeah.
It is possible. So how does it, how does Loiso say?
But no one cares, work harder.
No one cares, work harder.
That's dope. So yeah, man, there's a lot of people following the show right now. I've got somebody from Mabotwana Massive, shout out. Calvin Busilong from Botswana says, Mr. Ametili cutting the BS and dropping pearls of wisdom on advertising via G-Man the Adman. Hey, these people didn't, I don't think people knew that you're gonna get all like this, or that you are exactly like this.
Like what?
Like that. Like this guy. another guy, Sunny Lemteto, just sent me another tweet saying, I agree with transformation. Agencies need more patience with our people, because right now you make a mistake and you're out of the door. Is that the sense that you've gotten? Like, I mean, I'm sure you have a lot of young people who come through your doors from other agencies. Are you getting that sense as well, that they feel like people were not patient enough with them at their previous places?
There are two things. So firstly, we take on lots of young people.
Okay.
Young talent, because you can't just come in and not have anything to offer.
That's right.
But you come in with the right talent and you've got the right work ethic. That's the starting point. But what we do is we spend time with the guys.
Yeah.
So if you're talking about patience, we'll sit with guys. I will sit with them, write. I've got Tiberi, who's a writer. There's Fuad. There's other guys, Warabile. All the guys, they spend time with the younger guys.
Yeah.
They literally spend time of their own that should be dedicated to their own projects, sitting there, helping the guys.
That's excellent.
And you need to do that. So part of the sacrifice, you can't just hire people and leave them.
And leave them. That's
right. No, you can't do that. That's a numbers game you're playing to make sure that you look good.
Yeah.
To make that system work, you sit with them, you support them, and you give it enough time for them to become. And then guess what happens, Grant? 3 to 6 months.
Yeah.
3 to 6 months, they're running.
That's awesome.
And they're doing amazing work.
It's really, really cool, because it actually harks back to the thing you're saying about the work itself, that if it comes from the right place, if you're not hiring just because you need numbers, if you're hiring because your intentions are right and because you actually want to create, like, you know, an agency that does a certain type of work or a certain quality of work, then it's just going to happen all on its own.
And you create that quality, you help mold it, and the great thing is people move on.
That's right.
And I say it's great because it makes room for new people.
Yeah.
These guys come into the system and they go out into other agencies and achieve great things. Why not? Why not? So the intention for transformation mustn't be transformation of the agency.
Yeah.
It must be transformation of our country.
That's what's
then up. You're less worried about, ooh, we invested so much in this guy and he's he's left.
That's
it's going to come back to you tenfold.
I think you've got a whole bunch of young people out there who are just sad that you say all this stuff about what's going on out there and you're leaving that place. But I think what's important that is what you just said now, that Black River is now in the walls.
Yeah,
you know, and you know, the fact that you're not going to be there doesn't necessarily mean that all this culture is going to die out. But speaking of which, Fuad, that you just mentioned now, wants to know, he says, so the guys at Black River FC want to know if Ahmed will be back for our 1 o'clock review or not. You know, so there's an entire ship there that's waiting for you.
You know, they know I go to mosque at 1 o'clock.
Yeah, oh, is it?
And they should get back to work.
I've got another comment here. Suku out there in Cape Town, shout out to their homie Suku. He says, digging the show, the struggle for Black creatives is real in Cape Town. Ahmed, how was it when you were in Cape Town? Was the struggle as real as it is out there?
Yeah, it was. I mean, the good thing is, when I was at Jupiter Cape Town, I was one of a handful of the non-whites, black talent.
Right.
It grew though because Ross was committed to it.
Mm.
So Ross Charles was committed to transforming the country and the agency and everything with it, and he started a school called the Ripple Effect.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So. Okay. There's so much talent that's come out of Ripple Effect was basically a school inside the agency that took on black talents that were unemployable.
Okay.
And he took 15 to 20 students a year and made them employable and marketable by actually building portfolios for them and bringing them into the system.
That's excellent.
And there are a lot of them out there, a lot of that talent that went out there. So in doing that, the Jupiter Drawing Room really changed the numbers game for themselves, but also, you know, to a large degree, sent a lot of black talent out into the Cape Town industry, and a lot of people in Johannesburg as well.
Yeah, well, because that's exactly what happens, right? As soon as it feels like, you know, it feels like, but that's a whole other conversation that we have a lot on this show about how Cape Town eventually gets very small very quickly for black talent, and everyone feels like they have to come up to Joburg.
Cape Town's in trouble. There's no question about it. Cape Town.
You know, Ahmed, I asked Suhana this question last week as well. You know, and if for me it feels like it's something that's it's become very urgent. They are in trouble, and I feel like we all have to be making a concerted effort to actually be going, mixing some of this thought that you and I are talking about down there somewhere. Someone should needs to go into that water and put something in there that makes people think exactly the same thing that we and I are talking about. Because I think they definitely are in trouble.
I believe it is. I think it's in trouble. I admire the fact that Ogilvy has put someone in charge right at the top of
the creative
pile.
Yeah.
Who's black. You need to be able to do that to pull more talent.
Yeah.
But Cape Town's got a serious problem.
But it's a societal problem.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But apart from that, in the industry, you cannot use a societal issue as an excuse.
As well.
You've got to work harder. You've got to find other ways.
No one cares. Work harder.
No one cares. Work harder. Yeah. You've got to find other ways. You know, like I keep saying, it's 22 years.
That's right.
You cannot wait another 22 years. So what's the drastic, radical change? What is it?
Yeah.
If it means taking senior guys from here, there to attract attention there.
Yeah.
Is it, if it means using, a lot of those guys have Johannesburg offices.
Yeah.
So why don't you attract the talent here in the Johannesburg office?
That's right.
You know, it's not like you're sitting there individually, sitting on your own and going, okay, well, it's convenient.
Yeah.
Grant,
it is.
Convenient.
It's very convenient.
It's convenient. Yeah. So you know, people need to start doing
things. Oh, Cape Town.
Otherwise, we need to get walk into the agencies.
Yeah,
there.
I think so as well. Yeah. Occupy Cape Town.
Occupy Cape Town.
Yeah. It was starting here, guys. Remember. I want to touch on something that I know is also very, very close to your heart. The idea of proactive work. You know, so I think it's always a conversation that you and I have had quite a few times, and I've always walked away from the conversation feeling really, really good about the integrity of the game, in that you know it also gets like properly fortified by the fact that you just won a Grand Prix off of a real job, you know, and I would like for, you know, the people who have not been privy to our conversation with you about it to kind of know what your approach to not necessarily just awards but to all work, really everything that you put out there and the proactive conversation.
Everything we do, and we get paid for a job.
Yeah.
What do we get paid for? We get paid to service a client's business. Mm. Bottom line, why do we get paid for it? Because we're creative, so we can think out of the box, call all those things.
Right.
But why then apply only that skill and those tools to work for an award?
That's right.
Actually what we're getting paid for.
Yeah.
So I'll give an example. When we started with First for Women, we didn't treat those campaigns as award-winning ads. We said creativity works.
That's right.
That's the stuff you
Which
need to do.
Which is the base of what we do.
Exactly. I don't understand why there's a discussion around it. Mm. The problem is we know how tough it is to sell great work to clients. And again, we get lazy. So we go, it's easier to do this after hours where we don't have to convince the client to do what we are and patience. So you need to commit to it and you need to have patience.
That's right.
You cannot expect a client to come in and suddenly do that piece of work.
Yeah.
You've got to build those blocks and you've got to allow yourself. And then discipline. You've got to discipline yourself not to do it the wrong way.
That's right.
You know what I mean? It's simple for me.
Sure.
It's simple.
Yeah.
It's Lance Armstrong on steroids. Everyone hates Lance Armstrong because he wrote this. He wrote the same distance.
Yeah.
But he used steroids.
Yeah.
So when we're doing work for awards,
it's the exact same principle.
It's the same thing. You can hide behind proactive and you can hide behind all the rules.
Yeah.
But don't bullshit yourself.
That's true.
You're doing yourself a disservice. You're doing the people around you. And the people that you work for actually start believing that they can only do great work after hours.
Oof.
That's bullshit because what you're actually doing is undermining what they do for a living. What they've dedicated their lives to is to be able to find creative solutions to business problems. And why can't you do that from 9 to 5? I don't understand.
Sure. Sure. That is, and I'm sure there's a whole bunch of people out there who are going, I know. Because some places have a culture, a very strong culture of proactive, you know? And somehow you just also kind of feel like, guys, I can't fault you guys. You guys have been doing this for as long as you have. But at the same time, there's an ethical conversation about it. And it's funny enough, because didn't you just do a talk about ethics?
I know, it was a bit weird. Yeah. When you get asked to talk about ethics, there's an assumption made about it.
Either on one of those extremes.
You know, and you can't make assumptions like that. But it's an interesting thing because it is possible.
Yeah.
And I have no problem with proactive. Because that's our purpose. Our purpose is to proactively find solutions for our clients' problems.
That's what's up.
But don't do that 2 months before deadline and then say that's proactive. Because we all know the game.
Yeah.
We all know who's playing the game.
Exactly.
You know it, whoever you are.
Yeah.
Stop.
You know you're
shit.
Playing the game.
Yeah, stop doing it.
Stop that shit. I mean, those are wise words from Amit Tilly. Very clear as well. Just like the story he told us about the script. Just stop that shit. Nobody wants that shit. But that's really, really cool. Someone from your Polokwane Massive just tweeted us.
Oh, no.
It says, Pro Tilly in the building. Great legacy. Top head man.
Okay, good.
Polokwane very proud. Kill those feature briefs. And this is from Festus Masekwame.
That's my homeboy. Eh?
The two guys who come out of Polokwane and killing the game.
Festus, my homeboy. Tibedi, who works with me, is also from Polokwane.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, no, there's some talent.
Oh, there's an influx.
Yeah. Maybe Cape Town need to do a flight
to Polokwane
International.
Yeah, Juska, who works with me, Joel Libete from Polokwane.
There you go.
You know what I mean? So maybe that's the thing. Shout out, Juska.
See what's happening here.
Yeah, so shout out. I'm taking my cues from you now.
Polokwane has been the butt of jokes for too long. Yeah. The talent has always been there in Limpopo.
Yeah, I know it's true. Ask Orlando Pirates. I mean, our time is doing that thing again. But I want to know before we actually wrap it up. So I mean, we've been talking about this thing. It was something we spoke about last week about, you know, agencies or clients leaving agencies. And you know, you had this huge relationship with Nando's where you essentially kind of took them from one place to essentially a place where South Africans can't talk about advertising without talking about Nando's, right? And then you get a phone call, guys, look, we think we wanna start dating other people, right? How does that influence you? And most importantly, I'm sure you'll tell us how you took it, but how does that then represent itself in front of other clients, right? So do you then, after something like that has happened, do you get nervous? Do you start treating other clients with kiddie gloves, you know, because you're worried about, you know what I mean? So tell me about that.
We've always been very honest with our clients.
Yeah.
And I think most of our clients have, you know, fed that back to us. So when Nando's left, we were nervous because it was 25% of our revenue.
Yeah.
So there was a real problem that we needed to solve. But the rest of the clients stayed with us and they supported us. So that was never an issue.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, Nando's aside.
Yeah.
I think the mistake we make, I don't know why we get so romantic about it.
Yeah.
The mistake we make is that we believe that clients are loyal to us. Right?
That's what's up.
Why do we believe that?
Yeah.
We've come to you look at First Woman Nando's in our business.
Yeah.
Two clients, long-standing clients at Bube. You look at the likes of Vodacom.
Yeah. Yes. Barclays now, which just happened last week.
Absa, yeah. You've got all these guys who've been there 10, 12 years. Pick and Pay was with Wiener for 25 years.
Yeah.
So that was the old way where it was, I believe in long-standing relationships. But I think it's foolish of us to think that clients are going to be loyal to an agency.
Forever as well.
Forever.
Yeah.
So we must stop being dependent on our clients. I don't think it's right.
Yeah.
I think it's unfair. I think it's bad for their own businesses.
Yeah.
Generally speaking. But I think the problem is our expectation that they're going to stay with us forever.
It's just a romanticized version of these relationships.
And it just doesn't make sense anymore in the modern world. No one is loyal to brands anymore.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We're promiscuous. We want to go here, there, whatever feels right for us.
A client has
a right to do that.
Yeah.
I don't like that they do that. But it's a reality. You've got to deal with it.
That's true.
You got to deal with it. Look, I mean, we did some of our best work when at the point when Nando's had left.
Yeah.
I mean, our best work was in the last 2-3 years of that relationship.
Wow.
It took us 6 years to find the groove. First Woman, we've done amazing work for them.
Mm.
But they left at that point, so you can't even rationalize that.
That's true.
So you feel hard done by.
Yeah.
But they have their reasons. And you got to accept it and move on. That's the business we're in. It's cutthroat. We just got to accept it.
Sure.
You can't change that.
Yeah. So for all you startups out there, for everyone pretty much out there, you better know that that's what's going on out there. Yeah. And that model is changing. You know, that the model of loyalty where you hear that clients have been with, I mean, there'll still be one or two clients who still keep doing that. But I think we kind of exist in that space now where everyone feels like they're allowed to make a change now. You know, things don't necessarily have to last as long. But Mr. Amitili, the hour's done, man.
It flew by,
and it always does. I'm always the one who says that. I feel like every time I have these shows, I hope Gareth is listening somewhere.
I hear you, and then
he gives us another say hour, Gareth, so that we can actually delve more into these things. And this is one of those where I feel like, you know, we could chat like this all day.
Yeah.
And the intention is that, you know, we'll keep having these conversations And the intention is to get you back here at some point so we can thresh out some of these things that need changing ASAP. But a final word from you. Is there anything you want your guys at Black River to know? Anything you want advertising to know about, you know, the next steps you're about to make and about yourself right now?
No, I actually want to shout out to my guys at the agency. You know, it's a special time in my life. These 28 people, 30 people that are there are the most special bunch of people that I have in my career because I'm leaving.
Yeah.
And when I say this, I mean it. The 28 people at Black River, 30 people at Black River FC, not just the most talented, but the nicest human beings you'll find anywhere. So shout out to them for making me look good.
Dope. Shout out Black River FC. And that's it, y'all. We are done. Thanks for hanging out with us. An amazing, amazing show with Amitili. Go get that podcast. Whoever who didn't hear it, you know that they absolutely deserve to hear it. You can pay for your moms. You didn't swear too much. You swore a little bit, but you can pay for your moms. But what an amazing morning we've had with Amitili. And part of a bigger conversation that I know that a lot of us are going to continue to have. Thank you for hanging out with me. Thank you for hanging out with me and Amitili. Thanks to my production team one more time. Cheers and Pumla. And like I always say, if the show was on a Friday, we'd be having a tequila. Cheers, y'all. Bye bye. CliffCentral.com.